The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Christmas Day games and the Thursday night football game were pretty anticlimactic. They were one-sided games on Xmas Day, and Thursday night football was probably one of the worst games I've ever watched in my entire life. So let's get right into the games that were. Beginning with the Christmas Day games, we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it was all Chiefs all day. Probably the most dominating game the Chiefs have had all season. They've got the win 29-10. Patrick Mahomes had a great day, 29 for 38, 320 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense was extremely ineffective. This is actually their third loss in a row when they just are not looking good on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they were they just weren't looking good at all, and it was just all Chiefs all day, and the Chiefs were able to not only get the win, but they clinched the number one overall seed in the AFC. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Houston Texans, and the Ravens just completely demolished the Texans 31-2. It wasn't even a close game at all. The Texans were so terrible, they couldn't even muster up a field goal. They got into field goal range once, and they ended up going for it on fourth down and not converting on fourth down. It was just all domination by the Ravens offensively and defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, a very effective night from Lamar Jackson. He actually didn't have to do a whole lot, at least as far as passing went. He went 10 for 15, 168 yards and 2 touchdowns, also 87 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He actually ended up passing Michael Vick for the most rushing yards on the ground in the NFL, so he now holds that record. And then, of course, Derrick Henry added in another 147 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And the Houston Texans, they just do not look good at all. And this is heading into the playoffs, and they are just crumbling each and every week. And the Ravens are the exact opposite. They just keep getting better every week, and their offense just becomes more and more difficult to stop. And then the worst game that we had was Thursday night football. This is the last Thursday night football game of the season, by the way. And it was a doozy. The Seattle Seahawks were at the Chicago Bears, and the Seahawks got the win 6-3. So that's how that went. And it was pretty terrible. Neither team could get anything going offensively, obviously. And now Seattle still has a chance at winning their division, but we'll see what happens. Now let's talk about week 17 and the rest of the weekend. We probably are going to have quite a few games that are pretty similar to what we just saw, since it is the last couple of weeks of the regular season. There are teams that are already completely done, and then there are teams that are just trying to hang on, and then there are teams that have clinched playoff spots. So let's also talk about my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 12-4 to boost my record up to 163 wins and 77 losses. Simon went 11-5 to bring his season total up to 140 wins and 100 losses. We both actually went 3-0 this weekend. I had Kansas City winning 21-17. He had Kansas City winning 27-24. I had Baltimore winning 27-17. He had Baltimore winning 23-17. And then I had Seattle winning 28-10. He had Seattle winning 19-13. So we do have a triple header on Saturday, beginning with the Los Angeles Chargers at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Chargers are a 5.5-point favorite. The Patriots have pretty much nothing to play for. The Chargers are pretty much a shoe-in for the playoffs. It's really just a matter of seeding. They haven't really clinched a spot yet, but they pretty much are right there to do so. I think the Chargers are the better team. Like I said, New England doesn't have much to play for. It doesn't mean they're not going to show up, but I just feel like the Chargers are a much better team regardless of what they're playing for, just in general. The Chargers are a better team offensively, defensively, and in every way, shape, and form. So I have the Chargers winning this one 27-14. Simon also has the Chargers winning this one 20-16. Then we have the Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. Both teams are playing for a wild card spot. The Cincinnati Bengals are really on the outside looking in, where the Denver Broncos are pretty much just, they need the win, and they're pretty much right there to keep pace in the wild card. While the Bengals offensively have been pretty unstoppable for the most part, that hasn't been translating to wins, and they've been a very disjointed team. Whereas the Denver Broncos are actually playing pretty consistent football defensively. They are one of the best in the league, and that's actually where I think they're going to win this one. I think their defense is going to step up and probably cause a turnover here or two, and really make things difficult for Joe Burrow. And I think the Denver Broncos are going to upset the Bengals in this one 21-20. And Simon disagrees with me. He actually has the Bengals in this one 24-20. Then the last Saturday game is going to be the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. Arizona's just looking here to play upset, because Arizona is out of the playoff contention, whereas the Rams are right in it. If they just keep on winning, they just win their division, and they are in. I do think the Rams are the better team. Even though this is a division matchup, it should still be a good game. But I have the Rams winning this one 31-21. Simon also has the Rams winning this one 34-24. Then our Sunday games, we begin with the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. I pretty much expect the Bills to just roll right over the Jets. It's a possibility that Aaron Rodgers may not play. He's a little banged up, and the Jets have really nothing to play for at this point in time. Whereas even though the Bills, they don't have a shot at the number one seed now, they probably want to just keep on winning and keep on moving all the way into the playoffs, just rolling in there with a few wins, and this would be a good one. And I got the Bills winning 28-14. Simon also has the Bills winning this one 34-10. Then we have the Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 1.5-point favorite. This is a division battle. Both of these teams really could, they're both in the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter. The Vikings are really just trying to keep pace with the Lions to potentially win the division and potentially the number one overall seed. The Green Bay Packers, I just feel like they just want to win. I mean, I feel like both teams are going to want to win headed into the playoffs in this one. Plus, it's a division matchup. You always want to beat your division rivals. But I do think the Vikings have the edge in this one. Not only are they at home, but I feel like their defense, it just causes way, way, way too many problems for their opposing offense. And offensively, the Vikings are just lights out. I mean, Justin Jefferson's really difficult to cover. And even if you've got him locked down, they've got a few other options in Addison and Aaron Jones out there to get it going. So I just think the Vikings are the better team. I don't really think this is going to be a shootout, but I do expect it to be a close battle between the Packers and the Vikings. And I've got the Vikings winning 23-20. Simon also has the Vikings winning 31-28. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. These are two teams that have packed it up and gone home, basically. Raiders are trying to get that first overall pick. The Saints are just trying to end the season as best they can. I mean, they pretty much are playing with the third stringer at basically each and every position at this point in time. And basically the same thing with the Raiders. So two shit teams, should be a pretty decent game. But I have the Saints winning this one simply because they're at home. I've got the Saints winning 17-14. Simon also has the Saints winning this one 27-24. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the New York Giants. Right now, the Colts are a 7.5-point favorite. Colts have an outside shot at the playoffs, so they really could use this win. Giants have an outside shot at nothing other than the first overall pick in the draft, so they actually benefit from losing, and they just are an absolutely atrocious team. So I think the Colts are just a better team. They've got more going on offensively. They got more going on defensively. They just got more going on in all ways, shapes, and forms. So I have the Colts winning this one 23-7. And Simon also has the Colts winning this one 23-16. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 7.5-point favorite. This is a division battle, so I do expect the Carolina Panthers to go out there and give it their all and actually just make this a pretty decent game. But Tampa's coming off of a pretty terrible loss, and they are still in the hunt for the playoffs. So I think it's going to be a battle back and forth. For some reason, I see this one being a shootout. So I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this one 31-28. And Simon is going with his Carolina Panthers 24-21. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 1.5-point favorite. This is a division battle, but both teams that are playing for absolutely nothing. So two shit teams, it should be a pretty close game. I wouldn't be shocked if this is the battle of the field goals. And I have the Titans winning this one 16-13. And Simon also has the Titans winning this one 17-16. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Dolphins are a 5.5-point favorite. Now, keep in mind, the Dolphins play terribly when they're in cold weather, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a snowstorm or anything of that matter. So with that being said, I just think the Miami Dolphins are a better team than the Cleveland Browns. I feel like the Dolphins' offense is going to get it going a little bit over this team, and I feel like they're going to get the win 24-14. Simon also has the Dolphins winning this one 19-16. Then we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite. It's looking more and more like Jalen Hurts is not going to play this game, and that's probably good for the Eagles. I mean, they're headed into the playoffs. They've got a very outside shot at winning the number one overall seed at this point. And the Cowboys have officially shut down CeeDee Lamb for the rest of the season. So this is going to be the battle of the backups. You know me, I never pick against the Cowboys. So, of course, I'm going Cowboys in this one, 26-23. It's going to be the battle of the backup quarterbacks. But with that being said, the Eagles do have a lot. It's everybody else playing. And so it should still be a good game. But I got the Cowboys in this one. And Simon's going with the Eagles, 27-20. And then our Sunday night football matchup is going to be the Atlanta Falcons at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 4.5-point favorite. Atlanta, they're still playing for their division. Right now, they lead their division, but I still don't really have a lot of faith in them. They're a pretty terrible team. They don't really have a lot going on offensively, defensively, and Michael Penix Jr. is a rookie, so he's bound to make some mistakes here and there. Whereas Washington, they've had their ups, they've had their downs, but I still think they're a more consistent team, and I've got Washington winning this one 24-10. Simon also has Washington winning this one 27-24. So let's take a quick look at the playoff picture and see what everybody's playing for the rest of this week. So in the AFC, the number one overall seed has been clinched by the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not only into the playoffs, win their division, they won it all. So they are smooth sailing the rest of the way. Number two overall seed right now, Buffalo Bills at 12-3. Number three overall seed right now, the Baltimore Ravens at 11-5. Number four overall seed, the Houston Texans at 9-7. And then the wild card spots right now are the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 5 seed at 10-6, number 6 seed Los Angeles Chargers at 9-6, and number 7 Denver Broncos at 9-6, with the Indianapolis Colts, Miami Dolphins, and Cincinnati Bengals all with an outside shot at 7-8. Then we have in the NFC, the number 1 overall seed right now is the Detroit Lions at 13-2. Number 2 is the Philadelphia Eagles at 12-3. Number 3 is the Seattle Seahawks, and then because they currently lead their division, but we'll see what happens with the Rams over the weekend. They'll be battling it out the next couple of weeks. And then the number four overall seed is the Atlanta Falcons at 8-7. Then the wild card spots, number five overall seed, Minnesota Vikings at 13-2. Number six overall seed, the Green Bay Packers at 11-4. And then the number seven seed, the Washington Commanders at 10-5. And then right now, with the outside looking in, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're just battling it out for their division with Atlanta. And then, of course, the Los Angeles Rams are also on the outside looking in right now. But if they get the win, they will have their division, and that will bump the Seahawks into the outside looking in. So that's just kind of what's going on right now. It's just the battle between those two divisions. Now, turning to basketball, and we had some Christmas Day basketball, and it actually ended up being all really good games all the way through, beginning with the New York Knicks versus the San Antonio Spurs. The Knicks got a close win, 117-114. Bridges, he took over this game for the Knicks. He dropped 41 points. But Victor Wembanyama continues to have an amazing, dominating second year in the NBA. He had 42 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. So the guy is just getting better and stronger as the season rolls on. And it would be nice to see if the Spurs could actually get some players around him, because the dude is just balling right now, and you don't want to waste that talent. Then we had the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Dallas Mavericks. Timberwolves just hung on to this one, 105-99. Anthony Edwards dropped 26 points and basically had the game-winning points, if you will, to just kind of pull away from the Mavericks in the end. Randle also dropped 23 points and had 10 rebounds. And then, unfortunately, Luka got hurt in this one. He strained his calf. It looks like he's going to be out at least a week, I think I read. It's not, obviously not a season-ending injury, but it's definitely another one to add to the battle wounds for Luka this year. Then we had the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics. The 76ers took this one 118 to 114, and it was basically the first time this season where we've had the entire squad for the 76ers out there: Joel Embiid, Maxi, Paul George. It was about time that the entire squad is out there on the court, and they showed what they got. Maxi had 33 points, 12 assists. And Joel Embiid also had 27 points and 9 rebounds. So it was just an overall really solid game from the 76ers. They really took it to the Celtics. It was a close one, but the Celtics, they just couldn't pull away from this one. And the 76ers really put together a solid game there. Then we had probably the game of the day, at least in my opinion. It was the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors. Lakers just hung on to this one, 115 to 113. It was all about Austin Reeves, though. He had a triple-double, had actually the game-winning basket to win, game-winning layup, basically. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. But basically, he hit the layup with 1 second left to go, because Steph Curry was going off and doing what Steph Curry do. I mean, the Lakers actually dominated this game from start to finish. Unfortunately, Anthony Davis, he was injured, and so he ended up leaving the game and never coming back. But we actually didn't need him in this one because the bench was stepping it up. LeBron was having a pretty decent game. But Austin Reeves was really why we got this win. But then, of course, like I said, towards the end, Steph Curry kept knocking down threes in the last, 30 seconds of the game. So it ended up being a tied game at 113. And then Reeves was able to just hit the game-winning layup and take the Lakers home with that win. And then the last game on Christmas Day was the Phoenix Suns versus the Denver Nuggets. The Suns just hung on to the win, 110 to 100. Durant dropped 27. Bradley Beal dropped 27. Booker did not play in this one, but they did not need him. And, of course, Jokic, he had a solid game. He actually had a double-double, but maybe if he had a triple-double, they would have got the win in this one. All right, so let's move on to the top five list this week. I actually have two this week because I'm going to have some fun with this one. It's going to be the top five worst announced sports announcers of all time and also my top five favorite sports announcers, because, you know, everybody's been talking about their opinions on Tom Brady this year. And me personally, I don't really care about sports announcers, but there are ones that I absolutely have hated throughout the years. And then there are, of course, ones that I actually do like their knowledge of sports. But me personally, I really couldn't care less who was in the booth. I don't even pay attention to half of what they say. But let's go ahead and knock it out. Let's start with the top five worst sports announcers of all time. Now, this one actually was kind of difficult because there are actually quite a few terrible ones. But the top two, actually, it was really difficult for me to choose one over the other. I really leaned one way because he's not a sports guy, and the other one kind of is. But they both were terrible, so we'll get there when we get there. But let's begin with number five on my top five worst announcers. He is exactly who I think of. He's still in this game today. I don't understand how he still has a job, and his name is Chris Collinsworth. He is so fucking terrible at announcing games. I hate his voice, I hate his analysis, and he's terrible, and I have no idea how he continues to keep his job, but he still keeps his job. Then at number four on my top five worst sports announcers of all time, I have Bob Costas. I know a lot of people would not agree with me on this one, but to me, Bob Costas is the world's biggest twat. All he ever has done when he is announcing a game or doing the pregame for anything, he always has to go on lectures that have nothing to do with the sport. He always has to go on stupid fucking lectures about stupid worldwide issues, and it's like, dude, I'm just trying to watch a fucking game here. I couldn't care less about you and your high and mighty, pious, bullshit opinion. Shut the fuck up and just talk sports. And that's why I can't stand Bob Costas. I'm so thrilled that he is no longer in the NFL. He still works on the MLB side of things, but I cannot stand Bob Costas. He's annoying, he's stupid, and he's a pious fucking asshole. Then at number three on my top five worst sports announcers of all time, I know a lot of people agree with me on this one, and that is Beth Mowins. And it has nothing to do with her being a woman. It has to do with she is just a terrible fucking sports announcer. A, she has a terrible voice. If you hear this bitch talk, you know immediately. I don't even need to see her ugly fucking face. I know she is announcing this game because I can hear the horrible, stupid voice that she has. And I'm not the only one. It's you almost always see on Twitter when Beth Mowins is announcing a game, you see her trending because everybody's talking about how terrible she is. And it's not just her voice. It's just she does a terrible job at analyzing the game, and she just sucks. But her voice is absolutely atrocious. And there's only two guys that I believe could top her simply because she's so terrible at her job. And the two would be number two on my top five worst sports announcers of all time, Tony fucking Kornheiser. He did Monday Night Football for a couple of years, and it was terrible. He should have never been there. His analysis was terrible. His voice is terrible. Everything about him was terrible and stupid, and he did not belong in the booth, and I could not believe they put him there. But he actually replaced an even worse person, and the only reason why this person is above Tony Kornheiser is because he has nothing to do with football. He was an actor and a funny guy and a comedian and all that shit, and that's where he should have stayed. Only reason why I put Tony Kornheiser at two is simply because Tony Kornheiser actually works for ESPN and has been in sports for his entire life. So I put his sports knowledge slightly over this guy, but this guy was terrible, and it was Dennis Miller. He was another guy on Monday Night Football who did not belong there. He knew nothing about sports. When he spoke, it was absolutely stupid. I don't know why he was there. He was not funny. He was not entertaining. He offered nothing to Monday Night Football, and I still to this day cannot believe that he was ever in the booth. A fucking sack of dirty diapers could have done a better job than Dennis Miller did at Monday Night Football. Now moving on to my top five favorite sports announcers. It actually was pretty easy list because it's not that long for me. I mean, like I said, most sports announcers are just meh at it anyways. I'm not really listening to half of what these guys say. But the top two definitely, I think, are the greatest of all time. So let's get right into it. At number five, I actually have Michael Kay. He currently is the New York Yankees or Yes Network sports announcer. I think he does an excellent job at announcing Yankees games. He has great knowledge of the Yankees just in general. He doesn't try to overtake things. He lets his co-host speak, and he just knows his shits. And I also like his voice as well. He's very easy to listen to, and I just always enjoy when Michael Kay is announcing a game. Then at number four on my top five favorite sports announcers, I have Pat Summerall. He was pretty much the voice for me growing up. Actually, three guys on here you're gonna know they are basically who I listened to growing up. I mean, Pat Summerall, he used to be in the game, so he knew his shit, but he had a great voice. Him and John Madden together were just perfect, they just did a great job, and it just very when I hear Pat Summerall's voice still to this day, it's just very nostalgic. Then at number three on my top five favorite sports announcers, had to put Troy Aikman on there simply because he's my favorite football player of all time. So, of course, he's going to be on my favorite sports announcers because I don't really actually care how he is at sports announcing. He's Troy Aikman. I love that he's there, and he should always be there, in my opinion. Then at number two on my top five favorite sports announcers, John Madden. It was always great to hear John Madden announcing any game because he would always have great knowledge and intelligence of the game itself. But he also, it was fun. He always would have quirky things to say. And I mean, honestly, he's just as nostalgic as Pat Summerall. I mean, those two started out together, and then he moved on with Al Michaels, and he was great with both of them. And they just were all just, John Madden was just perfect at sports announcing. But number one to me on my top five favorite sports announcers, he's still in the game today, that would be Al Michaels. I think Al Michaels is the greatest sports announcer of all time. His voice is perfect. I love his commentary. Him and John Madden were excellent together. I actually liked John Madden and Al Michaels better than I liked John Madden and Pat Summerall. I think both were great. But if you ask me who I'd rather see John Madden with, Al Michaels easily. I just felt like they had great chemistry in the booth, and they just bounced off each other perfect. But Al Michaels, he just knows his place. Number one, he knows he's not an ex-football player. He never speaks over the other guy, and he always adds good commentary. He also adds in funny little jabs as well. And just overall, I think Al Michaels, nobody does it better than Al Michaels, and it's going to be a sad day when the dude eventually retires or dies, whichever happens first, because he is just fantastic at announcing any game, because he's got the perfect voice, and he knows what he's doing, and he's always known what he's doing, and he does it spot on. So those are my top five worst sports announcers and my top five favorite sports announcers. All right, y'all, enjoy the second to last weekend of football, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.